for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. This is the 2012 Passover Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Friday morning, April the 6th, 2012. Kyle Neese is the speaker of this service, teaching on the place of faith.
I just want to share a song with you. Don't expect a big performance here, because that's really not what this is all about. I want to sing a song, and I pray it's a new song to you. I pray it ministers to your heart, because you could find a song that's more artfully written, songs that are more artfully performed, and there's nothing wrong with being able to do something well. But, you know, I pray that this would touch your heart, because part of this message is that the Spirit of God wants to touch each of you with a new song. Because, you know, if you can sing that new song, if you can sing the new song with joy in the Holy Ghost, if you can sing that new song, it's a great display of faith. And it is the impossible thing that God can do in your life. You know, someone mentioned miracles and the miraculous. So, you know, we live in a day where many would deny and say, well, we're just living in different times. I had never seen that. So, but you know what? You'd be a fool not to ask God for a miracle. You'd be a fool not to ask Him for deeper knowledge. I mean, you just really think. Put your mind where the Father would be to think, you know, He's got something that's impossible. It's not the way you think. You'd be a fool not to ask for that, right? God, help us. Help us to call on Your name. It's a way by faith. I thought, you know, we were talking about faith. We want to talk about faith. But faith is, it's the window by which God allows you to view the impossible things. You know, not just the things that you can be believing for, but the impossible things. Let me see if I can turn this up now. Is it working? Working? Praise God. Yeah, it's working. Oh, kneel me down again here at Your feet. Show me how much You love humility. Oh, Spirit, be the star that leads me to the humble heart of love and see in You. You're the God of the broken, friend of me. You wash the feet of the weary, embrace the ones in need. I want to be like You, Jesus, to have this heart in me. You are the God of the humble. You are the humble. You're the God of the broken, the friend of the weak. You wash the feet of the weary. You break the wandering. I want to be like You, Jesus. We have this heart.
Lord, He's still, I know, in the way that He leads. For He will supply everything that I need. For He restores
Just ask you today, Lord, this week, Lord, the remaining time that we have here, Lord, we ask you for a restoration. We ask you for a healing work. We ask you, Lord, for a miracle. We ask you, Lord, increase our faith because therein lies our miracle. Therein lies, Lord, what you want to do in our life. And Lord, we ask you, Father, touch our life. I thank you for the words that have been shared and the songs, Lord. I bless you, Lord, for the heart, Lord, of looking for more of you. I bless you, Lord. We thank you and praise you, Lord God, that you alone are worthy. We thank you that you're Lord, we could look to a man, but Lord, you want us to look to you. So that the word might come from others, Lord, it'd be a word, holy word from heaven, Lord, like fuller soap or a finer's fire, Lord, to bring our faith, Lord, into boldness to declare and ask and just to simply do what you say. To simply follow the instruction that we're given. To simply allow others to lead our life into a place of song, a new song. Others to lead us into a place, Lord, where your delivering hand can touch us and set us free. We just bless you. And we thank you, Lord. I thank you that there's a river, Lord. Very near us, Lord, that you're saying, I want you to find your river. I want you to find that Jordan and dip in that place. We bless you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 If you will, open your Bible to 2 Kings chapter 5. 2 Kings 5. I want you to see a picture of God bringing us to a place of faith. 2 Kings 5. I shared last night that I think the Lord wants... I want to move this down just a little. I shared last night, I believe the Lord wants us to come to really a faith that's beyond belief. You know, you and I have been believing. We've been believing. But how's that been working out, in a sense? We've been believing. But you know, the Lord wants to bring us to a faith beyond belief. A faith, you know, I said last night, it's not here in our head. We've been believing. We've been believing maybe that God works in somebody else, but not for me. I've seen God do things for somebody else, but not me. Each one of us stands before God today with something we need Him to do for our life. You know, I first thought about this message. It's interesting how it came about. I thought about this place in Scripture. You know, it's familiar when we look at it in just a minute. It's the place where Naaman is told to go wash, right? He's told by the prophet Elisha, go wash and God do something for you, you know. He come looking with expectation for God to do something, for the man to be able to do something for him. And yet, you know, I thought about this reference to a gentleman that I've been discipling and we've been spending time together on a daily basis. And I was just, you know, I got frustrated at the place the other day with him. And I thought, you know, and I just saying this to myself under my breath, boy, you need to come to your Jordan. You need to come to Jordan and dip. If you're ever going to be made whole, you better stop resisting and you better come dip in the Jordan if this thing's going to happen and come to fruition. If you want to see God deliver His delivering hand come in your life, you better find your Jordan and dip. And no sooner than I said that, I kind of thought, well, God, maybe that's for me. You know, maybe that's for me. And I think that's, you know, the Holy Spirit was reminding me of that. Sure enough, it was for him, but I believe it was for me.
Because God's saying to you, you know, we're on a spot in the road, you could say, very near a beautiful river. A spot here on the road where you could say God's brought each of us. And I was impressed with all of the new hands that were shown the other night. I'm so thankful for your life. And I don't believe God brought you here by accident. I believe you're each one of you, you come looking for, you can say like Naaman, I come from afar and I'm looking for God to do something. I desperately need God to do something in your life. That's a good thing. Don't miss your Jordan. Don't miss your Jordan. I would say, I just had that on my heart this week and coming before you saying, don't come to this place and miss your Jordan. You know, all that would represent. It is a place of increased faith. It is a place of healing. The place of faith, as I said the other day, is a place of healing. It's a place of great recovery. And God's trying to strengthen your position at your place of faith. What's God saying to you? You know, are you listening? God's given each one of us who've believed on Him hearing ears. You know, we're told to listen. Sometimes, how come I can't hear? Sometimes my listen, you know, my hearing is not so good. What's God saying? If I were to say to you, what's God saying to you today? You might go, I don't know. I'm not quite sure. I'm not, you know, a man came to me the other day and we spent some time together and it was on a Saturday and he was helping me do some things and he said to me, you know, I'm really needing to hear from God. I hadn't heard from Him in quite a while. I haven't heard Him minister to. And he was desperate. He's a very godly man. I mean, just with almost tears in his eyes, he's been going through a great suffering and struggle of some things, you know, just with his family. And he was just so desperate to hear God say some things to him. You know, sometimes I find that my sin sometimes keeps me in the other room when God's speaking. That's why a place like this is so beneficial. This is a place to unload, as Carlos said. It's a place to unload yourself. Unload and empty yourself. And it's like this Jordan experience. It's going to be a place where others may ask you to do something. You just listen. Just follow. Just open up your heart and go with what the Spirit of God's trying to do in your life. I believe you'll be the better for it. It may seem strange to you. It may seem like something you've never seen before in your life. But just open up your heart and say, God, I want something more, because the place of faith is something new. The place of faith, it's not like you think. It's like God thinks, and He's asking you to dwell there. The place of faith, you don't even think that way. You don't dare to think the impossible. You look at what your eyes see and what the predictable, and God's called you to faith. He's saying, believe on Me. So that means it may seem a little strange. It may seem like something new, but God's saying, I want you to open up your heart and receive. I heard that just as we were just winding down through something, even the prayer that was prayed for the offering, I think. Receive. Open up your heart and receive. Don't be foolish and stubborn. Open up your heart and receive. And I believe that the heart is here to receive. I find that sinful thing sometimes keeps me in the other room, failing to hear His voice. Lord, help us to hear Your voice. Deliver us from our sinfulness. Father, we ask You to come before as we come before You, and we ask You to cleanse us, Lord. We ask You to for a washing and a renewal and the ability, Lord, to believe You in faith that receives the impossible. It receives might look like it's impossible for us. Lord, we just ask You, make us receivers today. We bless You. We thank You, Lord, in Jesus' name. Lord, we ask You for the victory that overcomes even our faith. Faith is the victory, Lord. Faith is the ability to think like You and put ourselves and align ourselves with what You say. It's the place of least resistance. We thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. The faith, place of faith is a place of healing. It's the place of least resistance, isn't it? It's the place where what God said for you and what God wants to do in your life, and that's why it's so important for you and me to get. You may say, well, I have faith. I believe sometimes what we call faith is just, it's just kind of a head stuff. You know, I said with someone the other day, faith is, if faith is, you know, belief and faith are different, because the Bible says faith is substance. It's something substantive. It's something you hold in your hand, though you don't see it. It's something you possess. It's something that would cause you to sing and dare to believe God no matter what you see. That's where your God needs to bring you to. Sometimes we're believing, and what happens to your belief? God just don't want to. And we just give up. We lose heart. We grow faith. You know, how many times did Jesus rebuke His own disciples when they came to heal or set someone free or cast the demon out of a boy or whatever the situation might be? How many times did He rebuke them for their what? Their littleness of faith. That says something to you and me. Sometimes we think we got faith and it's just belief. And God said, I want to move you to a place where I really do something in your life. That's a substantive thing. And I tell you, I think that in truth, we experience a little of that. I think sometimes we as believers, to some degree, even in the body of Christ, you know, we're living in a day where men just really, by and large, don't. I want to believe in what the power of man can do and what man can accomplish. And you know, nothing wrong with what God's given to men. But sometimes I fear we've used that as a template for even the church. You know, if you think about it, when Jesus returns, is He going to return for His prosperous empire that we've built for Him? Do you really think He's coming for a prosperous, well-appointed, I think sometimes we're living in a day when the kingdom has come and we think we've become kings. And Paul said, would that you had become kings, but you've kind of run off and left me. I think to some degree we've run off and left the thinking of the suffering Christ and suffering for His sake in a crooked and perverse generation. We've chosen more rather to sort of kind of align ourselves with the systems that work. And we've become a people sometimes who settle for managing the pain of others rather than healing, complete healing. I mean, really. I mean, well, you know, we'll help you. You know, we sing songs of comfort. Yeah. Nothing wrong with comfort. Praise God for comfort. But is that all we're going to be? A people that just comforts people? But who can heal the brokenness of the daughter of my people? You know, that's the convicting thing to me. God, help me have faith. Because something I heard a brother say just last night. He said, you know, we're in a place of, thank God we're still in a place of grace. And though I don't see everything about my life, I see change. God, I want you to do something. I want, in this day, I want you to change my life. And I want there to be change through my life and through my hands and through my ministry so that I see the deeper things. I see the power of God moving in my life. We need to see that. We need the faith that He wants to bring, because He's not coming for a prosperous empire. He's coming for a people who've been tried, who've been tested, who've been proven, and that the testing of their faith has produced endurance. You know, God's trying to test our faith in many things. And this is a picture. You know, I've been long about not getting to 2 Kings 5 where I wanted you to go, but I want you to see that this is a picture of some things that offers us a picture. To some degree, I want us to start with that picture of Naaman. Because each one of us comes to a place that I told you, don't miss your Jordan. We all come to a place where we're looking like Naaman for God to do something in our life. The truth is, though, as believers, I think God, we can kind of see ourselves with each of the three positions that we see. We see the position of the king. You're going to see the position of the prophet. You see the position of Naaman. Each one affords us an insight into a greater faith in what God would do. Let's read this. Because I believe God's saying this to you first. You know, as I came to this word the other day, this brother that I was sharing with, he came to me and he said, well, you know, I'm just not hearing from God. And as we just spent some time together and we just fellowshiped together and we prayed and we read the word, and in his prayer, in our closing, we were praying as Lord believed. And in his prayer, really, I believe God spoke to him. And I heard him voicing it in his prayer. It really forms the first idea for the message I think the Lord would share with you. And he said, Lord, he was praying, Lord, I know what you're saying. I believe now what you're saying is fight the good fight. He was about to give up. Fight the good fight. Faith is like that. Faith is the good fight. I want you to see that the hope that the Lord says is that there for you and me. Let's read and then we'll go to this first point. It says, now Naaman, captain of the army of the king of Aram, was a great man with his master and highly respected, because by him the Lord had given victory to Aram. The man was also a valiant warrior, but he was a leper. Now the Arameans had gone out in bands and taken captive a little girl from the land of Israel, and she waited on Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, I wish that my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, then he would cure him of his leprosy. Naaman went in and told his master, saying thus, and thus she spoke, the girl who is from the land of Israel. Then the king of Aram said, go now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel. He departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 changes of clothes. He brought a letter to the king of Israel saying, and now as the letter comes to you, behold, I have sent Naaman my servant to you that you may cure him of his leprosy. I want to read this to you in another translation. I like the way it says it. It's. Bear with me just a minute. He says this in verse 7, the letter to the king of Israel said this: with this letter I present my servant Naaman, and I want you to heal him of his leprosy. Then the king of Israel read the letter. He tore his clothes in dismay and said, this man sends me a leper to heal him. Am I God that I can give life and take it away? I see that he's just trying to pick a fight with me. It says, when Elisha, the man of God, heard the king of Israel, he tore his clothes in dismay. He sent message to him. Why are you so upset? Send Naaman to me. He will learn that there's a true prophet in the house of Israel. You know, the picture of the king, just a minute. I want you to see this. That the Lord, I believe the Lord says there is a victory. There is a victory at your Jordan to be won. At the Jordan, there's a place for victory for you. There is a victory to be won, but he says, fight the good fight. Fight the good fight. Fight the good fight of faith is what he's saying. 2 Timothy 4:2, say this. Let me read. 1 Timothy 2:4-5 says this. I'm sorry, 1:18. Say this. 2 through 5 of chapter 4. I'm in 2 Timothy 4. Preach the word. Be prepared whether the time is favorable or not. Patiently correct, rebuke, and encourage your people with good teaching. For the time has come when no one will longer listen to sound and wholesome words. What he's saying, and I read from that translation, but verse 5 says this. But you should keep a clear conscience in every situation. Don't be afraid of suffering for the Lord. Work at telling others the good news and fully carry out your ministry as he's given you. The New American says it this way. Endure hardness with me as a good soldier. Endure hardness, Timothy, fulfill your ministry. He's saying it goes on to say that 1 Timothy 1:18 says that the real fight is keeping faith and a good conscience. The real fight, it's keeping true faith and a good conscience, which some have rejected and suffered shipwreck. Isn't that a place where we're turned over to Satan, right? Shipwreck. That's the picture there. Keeping good faith. Fight the good fight. Two places in Timothy where he tells him to endure hardness as a good soldier. Fulfill your ministry. In another place in Timothy, he says, fight the good fight of faith. You know, I guess what I'm trying to say, and I think the Word says in fighting the good fight, you and I need to recognize where the fight is, where the battle is. The king here in the story of Naaman, the king thinks the king of Aram is seeking to pick a fight. In other words, he's missing the true fight. He's missing the place of victory. He's missing the place of a good fight. He's missing the place of faith. His faith is in himself, isn't it? Who am I? What's he asking me to do? You know, I'm thinking, isn't that a picture sometimes of the church? Isn't that a picture of us sometimes? Well, who am I? What can I do? You know, God's wanting to use your life, and he's saying that there is a victory to be won at your Jordan because I need you to fight the good fight. I want you to fight the good fight so that you aren't suffering shipwreck. Fighting the good fight is a fight of faith. It involves taking hold of a good conscience, not rejecting that so that we don't suffer shipwreck. The good fight involves taking hold of your calling, it goes on to say there in 1 Timothy. Taking hold of your calling to which you've been called, the calling of eternal life. Take hold of that. Fight the good fight. Stop resisting God. Where are you resisting Him? You know, I think that has an impact on the important point about this story. We know the story of Naaman, or we should, those of us who've been around for very long, but know that this story is a story where there was, on the initial part, a resistance to what the God was wanting to do. Don't resist. Open up your heart so that the Spirit of God has you at that place of victory and brings that work. It's a real fight, but he's saying, fight the good fight. You've been fighting against... I mean, sometimes we think that the battle is others. We think the problem is others. We think the battle is, and yet it's a spiritual battle God's asking us to fight. We know that. God says, I want you to fight the good fight. Keep a good conscience. The good fight, let me say this, the good fight is one born of faith to overcome your enemies. That is in short what Paul's saying. The good fight, it's one born of faith to overcome your enemies. You know, keeping a good conscience so that you may not suffer shipwreck. As some who didn't keep a good conscience and they suffered shipwreck. They returned to Satan and they suffered a shipwreck in regard to their faith. God said, I don't want you to suffer shipwreck. You want to keep a good conscience. I want to deepen and strengthen your faith because I want you to, in fact, overcome your enemies. You know, that was the... Wasn't that the beauty of the picture or story of David and Goliath, where Goliath, by faith, you know, he applied a less is more strategy. We've been talking about that in our church. You know, everywhere I look throughout the Word, God, He applies a less is more kind of strategy for our life. I mean, that is the God we serve. What looks like less to my eyes is much more. What looks like less, it's the place of faith. What looks like less is the place where I can't put any trust. I mean, looks like less to me. I tend to not want to believe that. I tend to not want to put my faith there, but that's what he's asking. Nothing short of that. David rejected the king's armor, but he would by faith defeat his Goliath, and he would as a result obtain salvation for his entire, you know, countrymen, his country. He would deliver a nation. And you know, I think this is what God's wanting to do in your life. God's saying to you, and I hope you get these points. And I really do. There is a victory to be won. God says, fight the good fight of faith. Your victory is for the faith of others. Your fight is for the faith of others. Others depend upon your life. Others are depending upon your life. Isn't it amazing that so much of the work of the enemy is an all-out, as Carlos said, an all-out assault in your life to break you down and destroy you. To destroy the man, destroy the family, destroy the home, bring you to utter ruin so that, what? Destroy your usefulness to God. And some of us have a hard time getting our mind around that God wants to use me. Really. Some of us think, well, that's for the preacher. That's for the whoever. You know, but not for me. You know what? I would say it this strongly. If you don't think God has you here on this earth to use you, you're a fool. You're going to be a fool. You got two choices. You can dare to believe God wants to use you by faith to deliver a nation. Or use you by faith to deliver those around you on your plate whom no one can touch or reach. And if you don't believe that, you're going to play the fool. You'll play the harlot, you'll play the fool, and you will totally miss what God says, I want you to believe me by faith. By faith. And I want you to fight the good fight because others depend on your life. Others are looking at your life. Look at the king. If it wasn't for Elisha speaking up, what would the king have? Nothing. I mean, he's in the position of the things of God. And yet, he's got nothing. He's got no answer to the king of Aram. He's got no answer to the Arameans. Except what the prophet speaks. The second thing I want you to get is that you're a reflection of what you trust. If you want God to deliver, or if you want insight into how you're believing, or if you're experiencing the kind of faith, then you must recognize that you are a reflection of what you trust. You know, there are two trusts here represented in this story. One is the trust of kings, and the other is the trust of God. The trust of kings, thinking that by his royalty or all that he possessed, there was going to be, he recognized that ran thin real quick. It's the trust of the king versus the trust of the prophet. There are two trusts that God wants for our life. You're a reflection of what you trust. You know, what reflection do others see? You know, that indicates the problem or the solution in your life. What's the reflection that others see? You know, let me just go on and read the story here. Second Kings 5. It happened when Elijah, the man of God, heard the king of Israel, he'd torn his clothes, and he sent a word to the king saying, why have you torn your clothes? Why have you torn your clothes? Now let him come to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses and his chariots and stood in the doorway of the house of Elisha. Elisha sent a messenger to him saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh will be restored to you, and you will be clean. But look, Naaman was furious. He went away and said, Behold, I thought. There's a problem with you know, that God wants to correct in your thinking. If God's going to bring you to a place of faith, you got to get over your thinking and thinking as you would think. Behold, I thought, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and cure the leper. I thought. I presumed that this is what he would do. I had a prediction. I was wanting this kind of predictability. I wanted it to happen this way. Are not the Abana and Pharphar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned away and he went in a rage. We know the story that he goes and he ultimately washes. But just, I want us to camp out just a minute. Look at his, he thinks he's wanting God to act as he would. And the word says that he was furious and he left and he went away in a rage. You know, what are you trusting? You're a reflection of what you trust. Are you trusting in yourself or are you trusting in what God said? Because what God says is the way of faith. What God says is representative of something new. What God says will set you free. What God says will touch your life. You're a reflection of what you trust. The other day I was a reflection of the wrong thing. I had this, mentioned this guy who'd been discipling, and after I got done with my attitude, I thought, wow, looking, if I was him, I'd be thinking to myself about right now, I think I'm going to get out of here because how could this guy help me, And I thought, it convicted my heart because it really convicted me. I thought, Kyle, you're going to be careful of your reflection on me. You realize that others are looking at you and seeing. I ran into a woman the other day and she's like broke into tears. I don't know if she was going through something, but it was almost like, I didn't really know how to take it. I mean, it's like when she said it was almost like, kind of, and I don't really know how she meant that, but I think how she meant that is it was almost as if God was, in other words, the presence of God was touching her. I kind of left with just this, God, I want to give glory to you, and give all praise and glory to you. But the point is that we're reflection on Him. We're reflection on the Father, and without turning there and taking the time to do that. Second, Jeremiah 44 and Psalms 115 talk about offering strange fire on the altar. Strange fire. On your altar, be careful of reflecting the wrong thing. Be careful of strange fire on the altar because the Word says that it's destruction. It's destruction, and God's not pleased with strange fire. I'm paraphrasing that, but it deals with strange fire on the altar, and it convicted me because I thought, be careful, Kyle. I'm not pleased when you're offering the wrong sacrifice. It's strange fire on my altar, the wrong sacrifice. It doesn't save; it destroys. And God's saying, I want to deepen your faith because I want to make you like the prophet. I want to make you like the prophet who can speak the word that I say, and it brings healing when men follow after it and obey it. God says there's a victory, there's a fight. I want you to fight that fight. It's a fight of faith, and I want you to reflect me properly. I don't want you... the word talks about in Malachi 3, it says that, speaking about the fuller, a holy fire, a fuller soap, like one that cleanses and purges and it brings to Jesus. It brings to healing. It brings to salvation, recovery. That kind of reflection. That's the reflection that the Spirit of God would have for me. I think, turn with me if you will to Psalm. I want you to go to Psalm 96 and hold your place. Psalm 96. Hold your place, and I want to read this to you. In 2 Kings, Naaman's wrestling with this. He goes away in a rage. His servants then come near to him and speak to him and say, "My father, had the prophet told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much more when he says to you, wash and be clean?" Now sometimes, here's the way we think, it's some great thing. It's some little thing. They're even looking at it as a little thing. And that's a little thing. It's your healing, man. It's going to cleanse you. It's going to wash. It's going to renew. It's going to do what it is you want. It's no small, insignificant thing. It's God's less is more strategy. When we just follow His Word, when we get the sin out and bring ourselves into the room where His presence is and can dwell with us, He changes us. He touches us. He wants to set us free. He wants us to open our heart. It's not a small thing, though they look at it this way. If He told you some small thing, would you have not done it? How much more then when He says, wash and be clean? So he went down and he dipped himself seven times in the Jordan according to the word of the man of God. And his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. The Bible says in Psalm 96 to sing a new song to the Lord. You may think, well, that's how are those related? Can I tell you something? I believe Naaman learned a new song that day. I believe he learned a new song. I believe he learned a deepened faith. I believe he learned that there's something at the place of faith when you simply obey what God's Word says and what the man says, and then those who are given charge. You know, I like what you guys said. If you were giving some instruction and saying, you know, let's keep it in here. We don't know everyone in here. For you to just take it off out there. I'm thinking, that's right. That wouldn't be the Spirit of God for you to take it off and carry the party over there. It's right here. Here's where God's appointed. God's appointed it for here at such a time as this. And He says, I want you to participate. I want you to be part of what God's doing. That's our problem, is sometimes we don't want to participate. We don't want to participate with what God says and what God says and where the Spirit's moving. We want to do our own thing. Can I tell you, that's been my greatest problem? I want to do my own thing. My own thing. That's America's problem. We want to be. We want to do our own thing. You know, God's given us a little taste of what you want. You don't want to be a Christian nation? Guess what? Guess what? Guess what's coming? If you don't want to be Christian, you want to be everything else? Can I tell you something? That will destroy. That will destroy anything God sought to build. God says, I want you to learn to sing a new song. Naaman was learning the new song. It was of rejecting. You know, I had a guy say it in the church the other day. He said something he read, that God is not predictable. He's not predictable. I thought, well, that's good. For good reason, right? He's not predictable. Why? Because he's proved that he doesn't think like you. He doesn't think like, he's not predictable. He doesn't operate according. Why? Because you weren't built for that. I mean, in Christ you are. In Christ he's made you new to think, and he wants to give you the mind of Christ. But your flesh is not built like that. Your flesh can't think like God. You can't outthink him. You can't outsmart him. You're just not smart enough. I know some guys that are plenty smart. Plenty smart. I mean, really way smarter than me. Smart enough to do things that you would just blow your mind how smart they are. But they tend to kind of sometimes want to think you're going to think your way to God. And there's benefit in study. There's benefit in learning and learning and learning. But, you know, as the brother said, Lord, I want to know deeper things. I want to know things, mysteries by your whole Spirit. As he was thinking that or praying that, I thought, wasn't that right? Sometimes we want to think it's all by our study and everything we can know, like we're going to be smart enough. Well, what would that make you? That'd make you pretty stupid, because you're just going to learn what your mind can be fitted for. And God says, I have more I want to give you. I've got the mind of Christ I want to pour into you. And you and I have to recognize we would be a fool to not ask for God for something deeper, for the miraculous power that comes to us by faith. And I was driving on a road, and as I was getting to the top of a hill, it was giving me a vantage point. And I thought, faith's like that. It gives me a vantage point to see and think like God and to speak what God says. And though it's a new place. God says, I want you to declare it. And then sing to the Lord a new song, verse 1 says. Sing to the Lord all the earth. I want to, if I may, read it. Here, I'm going to read it in another place at the risk of being too long here. But I want you to see Psalm 96:1 in this translation. Sing a new song to the Lord. Let the whole earth sing to the Lord. Sing to the Lord. Praise His name. Each day proclaim the good news that He saves. Is your life doing that? I don't know about you, but I miss it, you know, sometimes. Quite a bit, right? Sing to the Lord, praise His name. Each day proclaim the good news that He saves. You ought to be proclaiming that. The new song proclaims that He saves. Publish His glorious deeds among the nations. Tell everyone about His amazing things that He does. Tell everyone about the amazing things that He does. Great is the Lord. He is most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. The God of other nations are mere idols, but the Lord has made the heavens. Honor and majesty surround Him. Strength and beauty fill His sanctuary. Where does it say, and bring an offering? I think it says, verse 8, give to the Lord the glory He deserves. Bring your offering and come into His courts. Bring your offering. God's saying, I want you to bring your offering into my courts. It's a song of praise. It's born out of faith. You know, Naaman, when he came, I don't know if you read all of the things that he came prepared to purchase his healing. He came with all 10 changes of clothes and talent, gold, silver. He came to make a man rich. He came to think he could buy what only God could afford. He thought he had enough to buy what only God could afford, and yet he winds up learning a new tune. He winds up learning a new song. A new song. You could say a new song represents your yes song to Jesus. That's a new song. Because I don't know about you, but it seems a little strange to sing a new song. You ever tried that? Sing a new song? You may feel a little strange and foolish, except you're in a place where no one's hearing or you feel like everybody's with you on that. But most folks would think you're crazy singing a new song. But it's a song of faith God wants you to sing. He wants you to bring your offering and sing. It's an offering. It's a new song. Listen, the new song will give you the identity of the prophet and the inheritance of Christ. The new song, it's the ability to sing. It's the ability to tell others of the things He does. To tell others that He saves. It's to become like the prophet and allow God to use your life. Allowing the healing to occur in your life that God wants so that He can use you beyond. You know? The new song is something that you're going to have to... Well, I know a guy that writes songs. He's a good songwriter. He gave his life to write songs. He went to Nashville years ago. And he went with this thought that he was going to really work at it. And he said, made this statement to me. He's written a lot of songs, and I don't know if there's any of you'd recognize, but he told me one time that someone had said to him, "So what have you written today? So what have you written today?" And his point was, it's going to involve some work. It's going to involve some labor. Does the Bible say, "Work out your salvation, fear and trembling"? This is going to involve some work on your part to get this song so you can sing it. Because it's not just a matter of you coming with a tune and going line on line and singing the song. I mean, the Bible says, sing a new song to the Lord. It's a song that tells others of great things that He does. It's a song that says He saves. Not just, it's a new song. It's not something that you just sing. It's new by faith. It's new because it's, here again, it's the substantive thing that God's done in the heart that could cause me to really sing. When I'm really singing for praise. When I'm entering in myself, and it's not just line on line. After we began with a word of prayer, Holy Spirit, do what you want to do, because I've had all I can do. Guess what? It ain't enough. It's pretty lacking most of the time. Lord, when I'm full of what I need to, I think I could. God, save me from myself and give me a new song and an identity with the prophet, so that I don't have inheritance, that I have the inheritance of Christ. The song inside you, you have to grope for. You have to long for. You're going to have to come employed with it. Some of you have left where you are to come here to sort of be employed and occupied with a word that could set you free. That's a good thing. I would say you don't miss that Jordan River experience. It comes by faith. It comes to the humble. It comes to the broken. It comes to those who are willing to change their thinking, their believing, and really coming by faith. The new thing that God wants to do. And it will cause you to sing the new song, to declare others, God, what wonderful things. Think of the man who was set free and healed, and he went walking and leaping and praising God. Is that right? I mean, Jesus set him free. It's a deeper work of faith to bring a release in your life. That's what the song is. It's a deeper work of faith. It is a work of faith to bring a release in your life. You may say, well, I don't feel like singing. I got this thing that rages. I don't feel like singing. I got this, you fill in the blank, whatever it is that plagues you. I got some things I'm working through. I got some things that I'm seeking, that I need God. I need the Savior to show up on some things, to deliver me from some attitudes that do not please Him. My daughter shared with me a testimony of a man who was in what they call, I think, the Hanoi Hilton during Vietnam. Right? Was there at a place supposed to be a very horrible prison camp, and he spent 7 years there. And his first three, he spent kind of grumbling, complaining, in a place of thinking, you know, this is horrible, most horrible thing I've ever, you know, I've been in, I'm car, and it was just all that he had to endure. It was just like suffering. But he said what got him through it is he began to think on all of the word that he'd heard. He began to think on God, and he began making God his life to count for the purposes of God, for if however long God had him there. He spent 7 years. The first three were sort of in complaint with a wrong attitude, but God brought a new song to his heart, a new attitude. He changed his thinking, and his thinking, he said the testimony went something like, you know, the last 4 years, he didn't know how life he'd be there from now on, but he's determined to purpose his life, and God, why do you have me here? You got me here for a purpose, and I'm going to live for you. I'm going to sing the song, whether things change, whether it don't, it doesn't, I'm going to sing the song of praise to your name to say you do great, incredible things. I'm not just going to sing it. I'm going to seek to live by faith where you... It's substance. You do something in my life. You change it. And I got something to sing about. I got something to give praise for because you are, in fact, changing my life. You know, I bought a new phone the other day. Actually, I was given the money for it, and I was thankful that showed up as well as I got one of these iPhones, right? I think you get a whole bunch of other stuff when you get one of those things too. I don't know, but they're constantly sending these updates. I hadn't had the phone for 2 days and whoom, bing, the thing dings and I got an update. They're trying to update my deal, you know. I mean, I'm thinking, I just got the phone. You know, it's brand new. I don't need your update. They want to give me an update. And sometimes I'm, you know, my mind runs to conspiracy. What do they want an update? What do they want? What are they digging in the files? They're going to get something, you know. And interesting, I read on there, and no, I don't know anybody. Does anybody read the 20, 30, 40 pages worth of jargon that it's kind of like, you know, sometimes I read all that and I'm thinking, you know, what is this kind of deal? This is a super deal, isn't it? It's like the thing clicks on. If you want to keep using your phone or you want it to work right, this is some debugs and some things that'll get and it'll fix and all that. Well, if you want something to keep working right, they threaten you with that fear, so to speak. If you want it to keep working right, well, then you'll agree. This is the way the word technology, the terminology was. You will agree to be bound by these terms. Oh, I hate those words. I hate them. You know, when it came up, you will agree. Agree or disagree? Say no. It's over with. You know, you want it to. You want it to think the screen goes black. You don't know what to do. But it says, you know, you will agree to be bound by these terms. And I'm thinking, what terms? You know, what do I agree? I had a phone the other day. They had signed me up for a $25 a month kind of thing. And the lady said, we sent you a text mail. I said, you don't find my signature on anything. She says, we changed our policy. I'm thinking, I'd like to change my policy. You know, maybe I don't want to do business anymore. No, we already got you on a contract. The point being is, you know, with all of that, the enemy, he has terms. You know, you and I have been settling to be, we've been settling, instead of singing the song for that could release our soul, we've been settling to be bound by the terms of the enemy. I think we as a church, we've been bound by what this world tells us. We've been bound by what our own thing says. This is what it takes for church. Or this is what. And yet I hear preachers all the time talking about, we got to change the way we do church. It's just change the thinking, you know. And I believe there's so much of that's true. But the truth is we've been bound by the enemy's terms, haven't we? And God says, you know what? I love this picture. I love this picture. And about midnight, Paul and Silas began to sing. And the chains came off. You know, I don't know, but that was renewed with thanks. You keep letting your heart beat a praise and thanks to Him and open up your heart this weekend and the chains can come off. But it depends on your willingness to sing this. It depends on your openness to live by faith, not by sight. Not by what you see, what sounds good to you. God is not going to be, you're not going to dictate to Him what you want. You can come and ask, but at some point, but God says, I want you just to trust me and trust my word. Trust my word that I sent to heal you. I believe this week God's going to send you a word. I don't know if this hits anyone where they are. Maybe in a general sense, preparing you for something. But you know, I believe God has a word that He wants to send to reach each one of you and bring you to a Jordan River. And He's going to tell you to wash. You're going to have to increase your faith. You're going to have to get off just believing it because that's not going to cut it. It's not enough. You know? I mean, think about it. If you can believe it, you know, we can believe a lot of things. God says, I want you faith. It's going to be some resistance to believe that. You're going to have to get in the wheelbarrow going across the canyon, so to speak. You're going to have to get in. That's the place of faith. God said, I want you to ride with me. I want you to sing the song and ride with me that I'll set you free. And you'll no longer be bound by the enemy's terms. I want you to get this in your heart. And it will close. The place of faith is a place of healing and recovery. The place of faith is a place, it represents a place of least resistance. Oh, there's great opposition there. Great opposition. But the great opposition to your thinking. Great opposition. I thought the prophet was going to come and wave his hands all over me and I was going to be whole. It's going to come with great opposition to your thinking. The place of faith is, your thinking is going to be under assault at that point. But it is the place of least resistance if you want the flow of God to happen in your life. You want the flow of God? The place of faith is that place where I get out of the way and the flow of God happens. It's the place of least resistance. My sister-in-law told a little story about my son when he was little. All the other kids were swimming and they were all in this lake at a family reunion and they were all big kids, but he was the only little guy at the time. And he was little, couldn't swim, had the floaties on or whatever, but he kept wanting to come to her in the water. She was out swimming with the rest of them and she was on a float and he just, he wanted to come where she was and he could get up, he got up on her and he was there at a place of rest and he just floated and he could be with all the other folks, you know, and I just shared that of a place of rest. And to her, God was depicting that as a place of rest where He was resting her. God wants us to rest on Him and float. You're going to be over your head any other way. God says, I want you to come rest. The place of faith is a place where you're going to get up on me, and it's a place of least resistance. I'm going to get up there where you say, and I'm just going to rest in what you say. I'm not going to try to worry and figure it out. The place of faith is healing, restoration. The place of faith is the place of least. It's the path of least resistance. It's for the things of God to flow in your life. And the place of faith, it is your Jordan that He's calling you to. Don't miss it. Don't miss that. That's what He wants to bring and do this weekend. I believe that was for you. And for us here at this time. You know, God has a Jordan for each of us. And He said, I don't want you to miss that. You know, like I thought it was for someone else, it was for me. God says, Kyle, I have a Jordan River for you. It's able to cleanse you of things you couldn't do. It's able to do some marvelous things in your life and bring forth a song. Let's ask Him to do those things. Lord, we thank You this morning, Lord, that You have a faith. Lord, You tell us to fight the good fight. You tell us to walk in faith. You tell us to keep a good conscience. You tell us to cleanse ourselves, or we'll not hear anything from You. I pray, Lord, that You would begin, and I believe You've already begun doing that, but You'd begin and continue that work of cleansing, Lord, of cleansing. Lord, there may be a healing for us, but it may be something that may take place on the last day. But I pray that every word, Lord, would be that preparatory work that You're seeking to do to bring cleanse every away, everything to reveal, Lord, what You want to reveal. And Lord, very simply to reveal Your word sent to heal us, that, Lord, that we could, in fact, make an offload. And that, Lord, we would leave different than we came. Lord, I didn't come all this way in spite of sometimes that I just get in the way. Lord, the truth is, I didn't come all this way, Lord, just to see nothing happen. Well, I don't believe these folks came all this way to see nothing happen. Well, we confess we need You to make something happen. We need the power of God to change us. Lord, we're just asking very simply to change us. Change us, Lord. We can't change ourselves. We would try. We would try to think with all the kinds of things and things we could think could afford that. We could make that happen. The truth is, it's just a fix. It's not a change. Lord, we ask You for a change. We've been settling for a fix. We've been settling for the terms of the enemy. It's just to fix our bugs. It's just a fix, temporary patch. But it cannot and will never make us whole. But Lord Jesus, we thank You. You make whole. So Lord, we appeal to that power that works in us. And I ask you right now, for everyone who hears, for everyone who says, I got something. Lord, in Jesus' name right now, Lord, I pray right now. I ask You for an anointing. Holy Spirit, I ask You for an anointing that breaks yoke. I ask You for an anointing this weekend, an anointing that breaks yokes from everyone who shares, from everything that's said. I ask You for an anointing that breaks off every yoke. So we just thank You and praise You, Lord, that You sent Your word to heal us. You sent Your word to heal us. If you have a need, I just want you to stand, and I just want us to pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you. I just want you to stand, and I just want you, if there's a need, keep everyone bow your head. If you have a need that you want specifically for some folks just to pray with you, you do that. You stand if you would. Bless you. We'll wait on you. Bless you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. We thank You, Lord. Bless You, Lord. Bless You. Anybody else? Bless You, Lord. I want if you would just, those of you, just take note of those folks, and I don't intend to embarrass anyone. If you just go ahead and just lay a hand on their shoulder, just touch just those around them. Those of you standing, those of you observing those standing, just gather around those folks and let's pray for them. Okay. Lord, we thank You. Some of you guys, if you kind of come over here to these and just kind of gather around. We want you to know we're gathering around you because we care for you. And that the Spirit of God, I believe, wants to touch you and wants to heal you. Lord, we just bless You. Thank You, Lord, for an anointing that breaks yokes. We thank You, Lord, we can have what we ask, not because we dictate anything. It's because we simply ask. We ask in faith, Lord, believing. Your Word says that we can ask in faith. That if we'll ask in faith, Lord, we can have what we ask. So, Lord, we stand on that promise. We don't stand on our word, we stand on yours. We thank you that your word is great. Lord, speak your word to our heart, Lord, this week. I pray that in Jesus' name, every problem, everyone that stands represents a problem. Lord, it may mean they were the only ones that stood, but we've all experienced that. Lord, we ask in Jesus' name, heal the brokenness of your people. Heal the oppression of your people. Heal the affliction of your people. In Jesus' name, I ask that yoke be gone. That yoke of rage, that yoke of anger. It's an attitude that keeps us from faith. I bind that spirit in Jesus' name. I bind that spirit in Jesus' name that would be spirit of unbelief. We command you to be gone in Jesus' name. Spirit of unbelief, go. It's an obstacle and a barrier to our faith. In Jesus' name, we command that spirit of unbelief out. And we ask, Lord, Holy Spirit, come replace it with a spirit of faith. We ask you, increase that faith in Jesus' name to a wholeness and a healing. That faith is a place of simple obedience to at your word and what your word says. Your word heals. Your word sent from the mouth of the prophet heals, and we declare that. We thank you. We've seen the picture of that this morning. Thank you that you've given us one, and there are many in Scripture of you, of where you healed at the word of your servant. You healed at your word. You sent it to heal. So we ask you in Jesus' name that your word would be sent to heal. In Jesus' name, we thank you that your word would increase and heal and set free and deliver. We bless you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for that song. I ask you, Lord, thank you for your touch. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Amen. Bless you. Praise you, Lord. Yes. Lunch is about to be served, and they asked me to say a prayer for the food. So you would join us for lunch. We would be blessed. Lord, we thank you for the food that you prepared, the hands that prepared it, Lord. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you for the fellowship that we have in your name. We thank you, Lord, for the friendship and fellowship and love for one another we can have in your name, Lord. And thank you that we can pray for one another. And we thank you for this food. We thank you that, Lord, just around it really is beyond food. It really is to be about our fellowship in you. Help us, Lord, to, as it was said the other night, help us, Lord, to be about meeting one another and loving one another and making a connection that's genuine in you. That, Lord, we could be a part of healing your people. We thank you for the food and for the fellowship in Jesus' name. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.